Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the wrap-up, Monday Night Sports wrap-up, that is. I'm feeling some type of way. We got 60 minutes or more locked and loaded into this kitchen. Sports City, I'm going to try to keep us under conduct, but it gets hot in this kitchen, man. The past couple of days, throughout the past week or so, a lot of topics, a lot of dishes, a lot of food for thought. Hopefully, y'all can still keep up and do these dishes. Well, on that note, tell a friend to tell a friend. Now, I ain't going to get into it. I'll save it for later. Let's go, Sports City.
Let me get my thing, music. Let me get my thing, music.
Hey, let me get my thing, music.
Hey, let me get my thing, music.
Baby. Just forget everything that you love. Let's take it all the way back to hello. They say you're living like you've died before. I got a place that only I can go. Ooh, let me take you to flight school.
We'll learn to fly.
Ooh, let me take you to flight school. Never been so high, kiss the ground goodbye. And you say, damn, baby, how did you get that fly? Flight school.
Okay, call the number is 917-889-9592. I already told you, y'all got the next 60 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but y'all are here with the chefs, man. I'm feeling some type of way. Great show we got lined up for you, all types of topics, man. Come in here. Get settled into the kitchen, man. I don't know where else to go, man. This is home for me, man. This is home for me. Okay, let me get this show started because I already got a lot of chatter in the green room, so I know I got a lot of work here in the kitchen. Calling in by way of the state of Virginia, Tommy B, welcome to the wrap-up. How are you feeling this evening?
Doing good. I'm sitting here getting ready to watch Syracuse, Carolina, and flip over to watch my Wizards. Probably should win another one, but we'll see.
So, Carolina, if Carolina beat Syracuse, they're the best in the ACC, right?
No. I've already told you who the best in the ACC is.
So, it's a better team than North Carolina in the ACC, right?
Yeah.
Okay, no problem. Calling in by way of the state of Virginia, we have Aaron Simmons in the building. Aaron, welcome to the wrap-up. How are you feeling this evening? Uh-oh. Aaron Simmons, are you available? Are you there?
Yeah. I love how you set that up, Playboy. That was brilliant. That was straight up brilliant. Yo, before I get cracking, man, I come in here with a heavy heart. You know, one of my men out here in Winchester was gunned down yesterday. So, you know, rest in peace, homie. You know, it's an unfair situation. Hopefully justice will prevail. But, It was tough for your boy today, but I like how you said that you know, North Carolina joined up, man. Ain't nobody worry about the Canes, man. Get out of there with that.
See, I didn't know that.
Ain't nobody worried about your overrated, cheating high school, fucking Carolina. They don't even go to class, so fuck them.
Whoa. I mean, you get a year older and a year dumber. How does that work out? We share the same birthday, my dude. I mean, I don't understand what, I mean, we Pisces stick together. What's all the hostility, son?
Hey, already, Sports City. Okay, that's the ACC, but y'all still whack. The conference is still whack. Okay, calling out of Michigan, the Brooklynite himself, Nostradamus, a.k.a. Chandler. Welcome to the wrap-up. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm fine.
I got a lot of work to do to wake these guys up. Okay, so I got a lot of dishes to jump into. I don't want to set it off first. So, Mr. Knight, I will allow the kitchen door to be opened by you. Where would you like to start first?
Well, for me, today was hockey trade deadline day. Wasn't a lot of moves. Rangers got installed a couple of days ago. And here we go with the New York fan nonsense again. I already seen it on Twitter. People, oh, he's the number one center. Eric Stahl's not a number one center. He is maybe a 45-point-a-season guy at this stage of his career. That's not a number one center. He's not a number one center. So for all the idiot Ranger fans that are about to say he should be a number one center, no, he shouldn't. He is a second or third center. If you view him in that prism, he will have a very successful time here. If you view him as a number one center, then 2 days from now you're going to hear nothing but bitching about how Eric Staal, we overpaid and we gave up some guy nobody heard of, but that guy is now going to be the greatest thing since sliced bread because Eric Staal hasn't scored 40 goals in two games. Chicago Blackhawks, I don't know how Stan Bowman does it. Working with a salary cap, he continues to add big-ticket items and fit them in. With what the Blackhawks got, I like what they did, kind of like what Anaheim did, but this wasn't a great trade deadline. A lot of moves happened before the trade deadline. The fact that Chris Russell is the biggest name that got moved today, and he went to the Dallas Stars, who, in my opinion, overpaid for him. But, you know, it was okay. But, you know, stop the nonsense on Eric Staal being the number one center. The Rangers got a valuable piece. They got a good piece. He is not a number one center.
Also, how about Stepniak going to the Bruins, knowing that Steps used to be a part of the blue shirt underground situation, and now he's in black and gold up in Massachusetts. How do you feel about that also?
Stepniak was a rental player. He wasn't really a Ranger. He was here temporarily. I could give a damn about him. He's a fourth-line guy. He's not important. He's a fourth-line player. The fact that he was leading the Devils in scoring and he only had 30-some-odd points speaks to just how offensively inept the Devils are. Lee Stepniak is not somebody that's going to make or break a team's run to the Stanley Cup. He's inconsequential. He is a role player, a very fringe role player, especially on Boston. And everybody's, oh, he's got the scoring. He's going to play third and fourth line minutes there while he was playing first and second line minutes in New Jersey. Less minutes means the pressure scores more. And the one thing about Stepniak, by the way, he's been traded 4 times in the past 6 years. So, obviously, he ain't that great if teams are constantly willing to give him away.
Also, another thing in front of the Blue Shirts, I know we actually talked about this Friday. Your thoughts on the Rangers taking care of business up against Dallas in OT?
Well, I mean, they had a good road trip. I thought they played a sloppy game. The past two games, I thought they've been very, actually past 3 years, they've been very sloppy with the puck. So hopefully they're not sloppy tonight, but they won that game because Dallas is just porous defensively, not because they played a great game. Everybody on that team was sloppy with the puck, so they just basically won because the other team was sloppier than them.
And Dallas is actually a very good team this year. At least you got to take note to what they're doing. Another matchup that we actually talked about as well was the Red Wings and the Avalanche game also. Your thoughts on all of the big names that were out in that matchup before we move away from it?
I thought it was good. I love the outdoor games. I love the atmosphere. Detroit, they did what they had to do. The Avalanche are still a young team. They're still growing, but I'm just impressed with Detroit because it's going to be now 25 straight years that they will have made the playoffs. So you can't help but marvel at the consistency of that franchise.
Okay. Anything else that we may have not, you know, gotten to that you would like to gloss over in the NHL?
No, it's not a lot. I mean, like I said, you got the races. Pittsburgh picked up a couple of guys today. They got Justin Schultz from Edmonton. This was a kid everybody said would be the next Brian Leetch, and it hasn't lived up to it, mainly because they put that tag on it. You can't tag a young player like that and then send him to a young team with no better president and expect him to excel. I think the team that helped themselves the most outside of Chicago was actually the Los Angeles Kings. But I still think it comes down to I still don't think the Penguins make the playoffs. I still don't think they make the playoffs at the end of the day. But don't sleep on Florida with what the Florida Panthers did. They acquired three really good players for basically nothing. So they're all in for the run. And I think the Florida Panthers have a great shot of going to the Eastern Conference Finals.
I don't even know which team Sirius follows, whether he's a Penguins fan or a Capitals fan. Because when the Capitals was playing the blue shirts, he was talking junk about the Capitals. When we played the Penguins, he talking junk about the Penguins. So I don't know. I was going to start talking junk, but I'll leave it alone.
Honestly, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I follow the Penguins, you know. But again, living out here in the Metro, just to piggyback on what you know, my man Chandler said, one of the big fan favorites out here, Brooks Light, did get unloaded today, or actually yesterday. He's in Toronto. Actually, I had a chance to meet him at a 106.7 The Fan situation out here in the Metro. So I don't talk much hockey because it ain't my bag, but, you know, hearing that Brooks Light is now playing for the Toronto Maple Leafs out there kind of hurt my heart, but it's the nature of the business. As far as the rest of the, you know, Penguins making the playoffs, I'm not too sure what's going on with them boys. Let's see what happens as the season progresses, though.
Okay, we do have a caller in queue. We have Mr. Silver in the building. Nacho, welcome to the wrap-up.
What's going on, gentlemen?
Okay, I do want to see these guys first because I already got a little ACC frenzy in the building, so I do want to go there before I jump around the kitchen, though. First and foremost, before I start letting you two go at it, North Carolina is up on Syracuse 7-4. It's early. They're fresh out the gate. So I don't even want to make that seem like there's any implication on which way this is going. Favors North Carolina, them being home. But the Jim Boeheim team, I wouldn't count them out. I wouldn't count them out. And I think the last time that they went at it when it was a meaningful game was when Roy was in Kansas and Boeheim had Carmelo, and we already know how that went down. Texas takes on Kansas at home. I'm wondering if the Longhorns could actually come up with an upset. But I'll let these guys get at it. Tommy, you were fresh out of the gate talking college basketball. Your thoughts on the atmosphere right now, how a lot of things have changed, how Kansas has actually jumped back into the number one spot. Villanova, even though you guys know I'm a diehard Big East guy, these guys fell back to the third seed. I wonder if they could get back, or they were playing some hot ball until they fell out. Your thoughts on the atmosphere at college?
Yeah, I think the March is going to be crazy. I really believe, really believe there could be some upsets in the first round. This might be the first year a number one seed may not make it to the Final Four or even to the Sweet Final or Sweet 16. I mean, Villanova, they're not hitting threes, they're in trouble. I mean, Kansas, maybe, I don't know for Kansas, if they can really play ball, Kansas can make it to the Final Four. They're the only one seed that I see. I don't see Carolina. Don't see, I mean, everybody talking about Xavier as a big, no. Every Big East team will be out by Sweet 16. Watch. I mean, I actually think Kansas may lose tonight.
And if the last time a big team went up into Austin and actually played the Texas Longhorn team was the North Carolina Tar Heels, and we all know how that went down. If you don't know, I'll let Sirius tell you how that went down because I was in the middle of Vegas when it was going down. But every Big East team will not make it to the Sweet 16. This is what you're saying right now at the doorstep of March.
Right.
Interesting. Okay, Sirius, your thoughts on the college atmosphere, especially with a lot of the transitioning of positions. In the top 10, a lot of teams have moved out. A lot of teams have moved up, especially at the number one position. Do you think Kansas can hang on to it? And they are in front of winning the Big 12 for the 12th straight year. This is insane that they dominated for more than a decade.
You know, man, it's again, I live right around the corner from this dude, Tommy Beans, and I have no idea what in the world he's on, but I need to get some and distribute it, do something, you know what I mean? Because to sit there and say that, you know, a Big East team is not going to make the Sweet 16 is about as dumb as saying that the world honestly believes that North Carolina or Duke ain't going to make a tournament, you know? I mean, let's keep it 100,
I never
you
said
know?
They would make the tournament. I said they would make it to the Final Four, so clean your fucking ears.
Yeah. First of all, calm down. You said Sweet 16, rewind the tape. You said a Big East team is not going to make the Sweet 16, mark it down. That's what you just said not 5 minutes ago.
Right, but I didn't say Carolina would make the tournament.
You're not listening to me, sir. What I said was you thinking that the Big East is not going to make the Sweet 16 is about as dumb as North Carolina and Duke not making the tournament. That's what I said. And then if you want to go back and forth with your boy, we can do this all day. But I need you to clean your ears. I don't listen to what a nigga's saying before you start talking reckless. Now, that's what I was saying before I interrupted. That's some dumbass stuff right there. Okay? And so as far as Kansas being number one, you know, it is what it is. I mean, the number one seed has slipped and flopped all damn year. So, depending upon what happened there, I'm not. It is what it is. Come talk to me come March. We're on the doorstep of March, which means conference tournaments, which means the big dance. At the end of the day, it's gonna flip two or three more times. So, I start to see how it all unfolds. That part, I agree with what my man Tommy said. It's going to be a crazy March. But, again, back to what I initially said, as far as the Big East team not making the tournament, put your money up, not making the Q16 team, put your money up. I'm going to run the corner from you.
I know at least Villanova and Xavier have potential to win two games out the gate. At least those two. I do have a caller in queue calling out of Georgia. Haven't heard or seen this guy in a while. Editor, Lafayette's son, author at the Slam magazine. I haven't seen him in a while. Donnell, welcome to the wrap-up. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm good, brother. How you been, man?
Been all right. So, as you can hear, the little frenzy on your conference in the ACC right now, and you a Tar Heel fan too.
You know that
now. I know you are in series too. I know that. Now the interesting thing is, and I understand where Tommy's coming from because the Hurricanes have been playing good ball this year. I mean, do you feel that he can be on his soapbox, stating that you know you guys can be taken out within the conference? That you guys aren't the cream of the crop.
I'm gonna take the North Carolina fan and me out of this conversation for a minute and just talk hoops for a minute. All jokes aside, there's no way Duke or North Carolina, but particularly forget Duke for a minute. North Carolina doesn't make at least the Elite Eight. If we don't make it to the Final Four, it's unbelievable. Why? Why you say why that, Donnell? They've lost a couple ACC games here and there and all that. That doesn't matter. At this particular point right now, Bryce Johnson is paying like the fourth or fifth best player in the country, and I didn't even see that before the season started. And we got a whole bunch of other guys contributing. Lee Marcus Page out of this. He's going to show up. He always shows up. We got the backup guards are kicking in. I don't see why we can't run through this tournament. And the ACC tournament I'm talking about, and be a number one seed come March, whatever, March 14th, whatever it is. So Carolina not making the Final Four, oh, man, that would be unbelievable to me. Unbelievable. So, yeah, and Miami's going to be good, too. People don't want to play Miami. People don't want to play Duke either. But they definitely don't want to deal with North Carolina, not in a tournament setting where no one's at a home court, no more of this bad refereeing from the hometown type stuff. This is all tournament time. Crunch time? Oh, no, man. We got a senior-laden team. The seniors and juniors that get all the majority of minutes in North Carolina. That's perfect for March Madness. That's perfect. And I will be at the ACC tournament, as a matter of fact, this year. So I'm looking forward to that.
It's going to be down here in the Metro, man. It's going to be down here in D.C.
I know, man. For the first time, that's dope. I can't wait.
Yeah. That's going to be up the hut.
Yeah, for real.
Okay, so
that's gonna be dope.
Who threatens you two? Because you two are at the top of the conference. Outside of Duke, Miami and North Carolina.
Miami.
Do you think?
Yeah.
I really can't even really know. I'm including Miami in the conversation. I don't really even look like Duke is a threat to you guys right now. Even though Duke did
not. They're not.
I'm going to keep it 100 with you with Duke. Duke did knock you guys off in Chapel Hill.
Right. Right. I'm going to keep it 100 with you with Duke.
Those are 92 for senior day.
I mean, listen to me. I'm going to keep on with you and Duke. Duke always plays us tough. It's almost like
always.
For Baltimore. You know what I'm saying? Throw our records out the window. Throw the stats out the window. The All-Americans, the diaper dandies, this, that, and the third. We can play on their floor, our floor, backyard. It doesn't matter. Duke's going to always be a problem for North Carolina. Always. I don't care who's on the roster. I mean, that's how you're measured if you play with those two teams. So, I can't really put Duke, you know, by the wayside, even as a Tar Heel fan. Okay? UVA is another squad. We just lost to UVA. Those Amherst are balling right now. Don't get it twisted. I mean, as long as I'm a Tar Heel fan, it's not going to be just a cakewalk through the ACC tournament and this, that, and the third. We got some cats out here in the ACC that are balling. You know, I mean, my man Tommy B is over there, he's reckless 95% of the time. The Canes are balling right now.
They got no shot at winning it, though.
Well, we're talking about the ACC tournament. You know what I'm saying?
If you're talking about
the big old March Madness tournament, the 67, I see Miami getting bounced, you know, before they reach the, you know, 32. But
right.
If you're talking about the ACC tournament, we know each other, and we play each other, you know, two and three times a year, and the third. And I said, nah, bro, nah. I mean, I'm not taking nothing for granted. Again, I'm a tourist, and I've seen us get bounced in round one, around two of that thing, so many times, and make your head spin. And mine, you know, some whack Florida State's coming out right now, too. I'm not going to that balling.
They do that every year. And they don't want to be the final.
But the answer to TP's question, I can't disrespect anybody in the ACC tournament just because I'm North Carolina. You can't disrespect anybody just because you're a dude. Because, again, great ball players, great basketball tend to, you know, play in the ACC. I mean, no disrespect to the Big East and the other conferences, but we brought up here in the ACC. You know what I'm saying? So, it's going to see what happens.
But this is a do or die season for us. I know I hate saying that. We gotta win. But we're not recruiting the way we used to, where every All American game, three guys automatically going to North Carolina automatically off the top. For some reason, it's not happening like that no more. Kentucky's taking a lot of guys, and some other dudes are just sprinkling around, going to Indiana and all these little places. So we don't have the dominant recruiting class that we had before. Where we're gonna get a brand new starting five again? We got losing our point guard. We're losing our power forward. He's recovered. Like I said, Bryce Johnson's playing on another level. Justin Jackson's a junior. We can't afford to, like, have this team not make a Final Four. But we're not going to have this type of team next year. We'll have a good team, because we always do.
You got to compete with Kyle Perry every year. You know what I'm saying? He's coming in, drafted all of, you know, recruiting all Americans.
He's getting all our guys. Right. We need to get some guys to stay 2 years.
I want to throw this in front of Chandler, see how he feels about it now. Chandler, since Donnell threw that out there saying that they don't recruit well, do you think this is a situation that we touched on about a month and a half ago, or probably longer than that, with everything that Rashad McCants came down with and the allegations of, you know, them not, you know, doing things the right way down there scholastically or from the aspect of them in the classroom? Is this a situation where the kids don't want to go there to face a potential ban or suspension or things of that nature? Because North Carolina has not been hit or addressed yet. And we've talked about this a while ago, and they still have not addressed the matter.
No, because North Carolina is not going to be punished. We all know that. They're getting a pass, and they shouldn't. And I didn't interrupt anybody. I let the three of you talk ACC and stop the nonsense you spout. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Anyway, I think it's what we talked about early in the season, the fact that there are no more mid-majors because every team has a TV package. every conference is on TV now. Everybody's on TV. So the old days when you could only go to certain conferences to get exposure, those days are gone. So you have a more level playing field for recruiting now. And some of these guys, five stars, four stars, three stars, they're going to the old so-called mid-majors. The fact that somebody said little places like Indiana, but whatever. You know, they're going back to the Big Ten teams. They're going to the Mountain West conferences. They're going to the Pac-10, 12, whatever number they have now of teams there. They're going to the Big 12. And not for nothing, the Big 12 is the best conference in the country. The Big 12 could easily have three teams get number one seed. They'll probably get two. They could easily get three. Go ahead.
Do you really believe in Oklahoma? Because they have been losing lately.
Of course I don't believe in Oklahoma, but that's not what I'm saying. My point is because they've been beating at the conferences, you can make a case that they can have a number one seed. They got Buddy Hield. And again, their fans travel. Don't forget that these number one seeds are also based on money. Okay? North Carolina's going to get a number one seed. They're not winning the ACC tournament, I don't think. But they'll still get a number one seed whether they win it or not. Simply because it's North Carolina. They're going to get a number one seed. Duke is going to be no lower than a 7. Duke, honestly, shouldn't even make the tournament. They shouldn't be ranked right now. They shouldn't be ranked right now.
Come on.
They should not even be ranked right now. They should not even be ranked. Okay? They are not a top 25 team. But Duke will get about a 7 seed when they should be about a 12 to 15. I guarantee you they won't be any lower than 7. Why? Because it's Duke. It has nothing to do with how good the team is. When you start talking about the actual NCAA tournament, it has a damn thing to do with how good the team is playing. Does it? How many years did we see Syracuse not get seeded where they were supposed to? Because they don't like Jim Boeheim.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're going to keep it strictly on the court, then the only team I can possibly see getting a number one seed out of the ACC is North Carolina. Does that mean they're the only team that should get one? No. Miami, I told you how I feel about Miami.
No.
They play up or down to the level of their competition. Just like when I told you, matter of fact, Ty, before they played Florida State, what would I say the point spread would be?
He said it would be under 5.
What was it?
He said
it was a 1-point game.
It was a 2-point game.
Wow. Miami plays up or down to the level of their competition, so I'm not impressed by Miami. Because when you get to the NCAA tournament, you can't be hot and cold like that. Miami could get to the Sweet 16 or they could be out in the first round simply based on who they play. If it's a team they think warrants their A game, they'll bring it. In the NCAA tournament, you don't have the option to choose when to play hard. Because that other team is coming for you, whether you believe in them or not. Mm-hmm. So when you start talking about ACC, there's not a lot of good teams in the ACC this season. Maryland, please. I told you before the season started, Maryland was a fraud. And that's been shown. That's been shown as time has gone on. Maryland's starting to show their warts. Because it's Maryland.
Maryland did the Big Ten, by the way.
Yeah.
So when you start talking, again, to me, the Big 12 is the best conference. The next one's probably going to be the ACC, but that speaks to the level of parity in college basketball these days. It's not so much as an indictment of these conferences as it is giving credit to these other teams. These other teams are really good. There's no accident when these teams beat these so-called major names now. It's not an accident. Look at some of the players on these teams. Look at who they were recruited by and said, no, I want to go over here. Because all you offer me, exposure, I can still be a number one pick and come from a Davidson. I could be a top 10 pick and come from, a Marquette or a Butler. Or where did Damon Lillard go to school at? Weber State?
Weber State.
You know what I'm saying? Guys now can be top 5 picks, and they don't have to go to the traditional schools anymore. So the playing field is level. I agree with Tommy on this. This tournament is going to be bananas. It's going to be bananas because you can't tell me one team that's dominant in college basketball. There isn't a dominant team. There's not one team you can look and say, oh, this team is going to go there and they're guaranteed 2 games. It's not one.
And it's real tough to think about which team have it in their tank to win 6 straight. That's the biggest part, to go in there and dominate for six straight games. Like, the, who has it in their tank? So, Chandler, but you saying North Carolina is not the favorite or won't win the ACC tournament. Who out of, I guess, Duke and Virginia or Miami do you have winning it?
I don't know. I think Miami could win it. I think Virginia could win it. I don't think Duke can win it. I think it's amongst three teams. And I'll throw Maryland's in it. No, they're in the Big Ten now. Those are the only three teams I can say that you can say and have
about,
some confidence in saying, right.
What about Syracuse?
No.
Louisville can win the tournament. Louisville can win the tournament.
No. But I think it's between Miami.
Louisville's not in the tournament because of the self-proposed.
Yeah.
No, I think it's NCAA.
Right. So, I mean, I think it's only three teams. I think it's North Carolina, Miami, or Virginia. But it would not surprise me if some fourth team came out of nowhere and won that tournament because, again, the level of parity in college basketball is tremendous now, man. That's what I'm talking about. And what Donnell said about the recruiting is right. You can't. The days of walking in and throwing your team sweat on the floor, saying, I'm North Carolina, come with me. I'm Kentucky, come with me. These days is over, son. They actually have to recruit now.
Unfortunately, yes.
I'm going to throw one name out there, and teams better hope in the ACC tournament he doesn't get hot. Because he's very underrated as a player out of Miami, is Sheldon McClellan. Dude can shoot the ball out of the gym.
Oh, he's not underrated. He's probably going to be first team all conference.
Dude can play some ball. If he gets hot, watch out.
Yeah, that's a bad dude. Yeah, he probably ended up making first team.
I would love to get him in D.C. with my Wizards.
Everything for the Wizards, man. They got to get by Philly tonight. Yes, Donnell.
Here's the best part of this season, though, for me. The best part of this season is there's a very, very, very good chance out of the four teams in the Final Four, at least three of them are going to be led by seniors, have senior-laden offenses, have senior-laden rosters. For the first time in a long time, you're probably not going to get an NCAA champion where the best player in that team is a one-and-done. Oklahoma, North Carolina, Virginia, you're going to get a team that's going to be in the Final Four or playing for a championship that's literally led by juniors and seniors. And I'm thinking the trend is starting to change a little bit where guys are saying, you know what, maybe I'll just hang out one more year and get nice, like Marcus Smart or somebody like that. Because this whole one-and-done thing is still going to happen because I don't blame a kid. If you're good enough to get $1 million playing basketball, just take the money. Who cares if you end up being out of the league in 4 years? Take the money. But you're starting to see more teams, guys are hanging on. Because Buddy Hield could have left last year, been a second-round pick, maybe a low first. But he's like, why? Why don't I just stay in Oklahoma and be the man, first of all, and not have no pressure, or at least a lot of pressure, but no real-life pressure of being in Oklahoma City on the bench somewhere, eighth man, when he could be the man at Oklahoma. And now he's in position. He's got to be the top four pick. He's got to be top four. I mean, why would you not pick him if you're Sacramento? Why would you take another 19-year-old when I can get a dude that's 22 years old and knows how to practice, work hard, and play? So I'm starting to see that, man, this is going to be a dope tournament because a lot of these guys is going to win and get further up. Cincinnati's another team. I'm just using them as an example, a team with, like, four starting seniors. This is going to be Villanova. How many they got, like three? Maybe four. It's going to be a senior-laden NCAA tournament. It's going to be great, man, just for that reason alone. Forget this one-and-done crap. It ain't going to work. Ask Kentucky. Kentucky's been there 6 years. They ain't got one championship.
I want to throw this one out here. Why around this time, every year, right, this team always seems to go under the freaking radar and they'll be ready for you because of their coach's system and how he gets the job done in Michigan State. Now, they are ranked number two in the nation. They are ranked number two in the nation. They started getting injuries. Valentine wasn't feeling well. They see Valentine and Izzo yelling at each other on the sideline. Everybody forgot about Michigan State. They are number two in the nation quietly. And they have a 4-5 and a bench that can go at you. And this is the one thing that scares me about every single Tom Izzo team that is coached. These guys are the most physical college basketball team I have ever seen. Year in and year out. They are ready to bend. They are ready to go down there and put a weight on a body. make sure that everybody's crashing the boards, including the guards, and they shoot well. And this is their star is unselfish as hell. Denzel Valentine is unselfish as hell for a guy that could go and score, could run the floor, do what he wants to do. He's unselfish. So why consistently is this a situation where people do, I don't really want to say overlook, but I the radar Michigan State.
But you know why? Because Tom Izzo doesn't get a kid that's going to say, hey, coach, I want to be here for 6 months and get stats and then I'm out. It doesn't happen at Michigan State. You go say, oh, what about, what's his name, Zeebo. Yeah, that's rare. Those are rare occasions. For the most part, Michigan State guys are sitting, playing a little bit, playing a lot, playing a whole lot by senior year, and that's why he's got 7 Final Fours. Because every time you put a team on the floor, there's a whole bunch of 21-year-olds that know what they're doing and not Kentucky with the whole one-and-done thing, which will still work sometimes. I mean, they say go deep in the tournament a lot, but it's not gonna you're not going to win no championships. Now, granted, it's only 1-1, but that doesn't matter, though. The fact of the matter is every time you turn around for the last decade and a half, he's in the Final Four or Elite Eight. His teams do not get bumped in the first round. It doesn't happen. They don't even get bumped in the second round, as a matter of fact. Matter of fact, I think he's got, like, 12 Sweet 16s. Like, this is what happens. This is how it happens. I can't, and I'm so happy that it started a trend. And even if it only lasts 1 year, damn it, at least this March I get to see some experienced teams playing ball. And that's awesome.
But I think part of that, too, though, when you're talking about the lack of one and done this particular year, I think guys are starting to realize that if they stay the 3 or 4 years, right, let's say they don't go top 10, but now they drop a little in the draft, they go to a good team.
Right.
It's about winning, too. How do you get that second contract? Well, if your team is winning, you get more exposure. So if I'm a young player, like a Marcus Smart, well, Boston was the perfect place for him to go. You know what I'm saying?
Perfect.
He didn't have to start right away. He got to learn and develop his game, and now he's a cornerstone of the team. So if you're a player like, say, a Perry Ellis, right? Perry Ellis is not going to be a top 10 guy, which means he's going to go to a team that can actually use him because they don't need him to be a star. He gets to develop his game. By his second, third year in the league, oh, that's Perry Ellis, man. It's up and coming star. Boom. There's your second guaranteed contract. So I think these kids are starting to realize the value of staying and being the man, but also the value of staying and dropping a little in the draft to go to a better situation. Because you go to a bad team as a young player, you're supposed to carry the team. If you don't, you're called the butt. Like Anthony Bennett is the perfect example. He had gone to – say a Spurs or Oklahoma City, any team that didn't need him to be a star, he'd probably still be in the NBA.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He's been on three teams in 3 years.
Yeah, speaking of Anthony Bennett, he is getting waived today by the Toronto Raptors today.
Now, he will get signed again because someone's going to want to make the 11th man better or make the 10th man better. That's how the NBA works. They're not going to kick this kid out of the league at 19. But he'll never, ever, you never say never because you never know what happens with a guy. But it'll be a long time before you see him in someone's rotation strong and you say, oh, that's Anthony Bennett getting 10 and 5. Nah, that shot, they already gave you that shot when I picked you 1 overall. I don't even know how that happened. But I picked you 1 overall. And then now you've been on 3 teams, and this will be his 4th coming up when he gets signed again in 3 years. Thomas Robinson's been on 4 teams, man. I don't think he's been in the league 4 years from Kansas. And that was a lottery pick. But, again, I mean, he didn't stay 1 year. He was a senior. But the whole point is you don't want to get put on Sacramento. You don't want to get put in a situation where you're in the Philadelphia 76ers, which is a perfect example, but I'll be here all night. You don't want to be on those teams because, yeah, you get money. I get to go out and hang out right now with the big dogs. I got money, but it won't last because I'm in China now. Michael Beasley just got MVP this year. He just got MVP to the Chinese Basketball Association. Michael Beasley, he's the number 2 pick in the draft behind Derrick Rose. At 5 years, 6 foot now, maybe like 7 years later, he's the MVP. And God bless him. He's playing ball, and he doesn't have to work 9 to 5. But the fact of the matter is, Michael Beasley was the second pick, and it wasn't a toss-up because Chicago was going to take the Chicago kid. But Miami would grab him quick, like, yeah, we need this dude. This is perfect. And now he's the MVP
of
the basketball league.
His off-the-court issues is what killed him. It wasn't him on the floor.
Oh, no
it wasn't
doubt.
Like he took the floor. Him putting,
no doubt.
You know, garbage bags of weed out there. They, like, his attitude killed him. They had to get him out of America. Cause
what Chandler said was perfect. He wasn't ready. That kid, Michael Beasley, was not ready to be put in a situation where I'm going to hand you all kinds of bread and I'm going to get you shots in Miami, of all places. He wasn't ready. But second year at Kansas State, he he would have been good to go. Bill Walker was with him. Bill Walker ended up getting some minutes now, so he's on the roster. But Bill Walker could have been a lot of the picky state one more year in Kansas State got mature. Man, imagine right. Michael Beasley. Now, everybody's not Kevin Durant. Everybody's not a kid with a good head on the shoulder that only needs 1 year. Or LeBron James, a freak like that, who's already mature as a high school sophomore, and basically you just waiting to bide your time to put him on the NBA roster. A lot of guys ain't Kobe Bryant. Those are rare, Kevin Garnett. For the most part, it's guys that are going to bump around a little bit until they finally get, you know, their shit situated, you know? So forget that one. I hope that shit is – I mean, I don't make it illegal, but just stop that trend a little bit. NBA can stop it right now. NBA can stop it right now by sending scouts to a 17-and-a-half-year-old's games at freshman year. They can stop that. But, you know, for some reason, Philadelphia will keep on doing it. Some of these bad teams will keep on doing it, thinking that it's going to change something. They're not going to change. You ain't going to win no games in the NBA, a league full of grown men who got to feed their family, and you putting it up against me, a 19-year-old kid with braces in his mouth, and you telling me that's going to be your lead, your team. Dante Exum, Utah draft him like third or something, fourth. They don't even play him. Utah's good with
he's not even in play time.
He's not getting any now. Yeah, he's not even playing now. They can't trust you. You're a little kid. You came from overseas. God bless him. Good for him. I'm glad he's, you know, he's safe. But the fact of the matter is, he's not going to be no NBA guy right now. It's going to be a minute before that kid really takes the reins. Even Utah, and they suck. And they're still like, we can't trust you. We can't even trust you on the basketball court because you throwing the ball around. And don't get mad at me. I'm from Germany, man. I didn't tell you I was nice. You told me I was nice. Pick Buddy Hield. Get Buddy Hield and watch Buddy. Take Marcus Page. And watch what happens. He comes here, line up, he practices hard, and he'll be contributing. Paul George played 2 years at Fresno State. Nobody even cared. But Larry Bird and them recognize this kid's got – he's been here 2 years. He's all right. Let's take this kid, number 10. I didn't know who Paul George was, and I watched college basketball all the time. But they knew that he's a sophomore, not some kid out of high school. So I'm glad the one and done thing is getting old. I hope it goes away to the point where no one's even thinking like that. Why don't you stay in school and get better, you know? Unless you like Carmelo, you're the best player on the national championship team, and then go ahead, make a move.
Right.
Which is rare.
Okay, I got Nacho here. Nacho, I know you came to the kitchen for several topics that are going around. I'll let you open up. Give me your thoughts here at the wrap-up.
Oh, well, I was actually, you know, listening to that, and I'll dive into this real quick. The crazy thing about this is I think everyone hit on the head with the NCAA tournament. And who's going to lose and who's going to win. I think it's going to be a whole bunch of wows and you know, shockers definitely around the tournament, who we see in the Elite Eight, who we see in the Final Four, and then who we see in the championship. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a U and an A in the championship game, but, you know, that's a little heartstring tugging at that one. But the tournaments themselves, the Big 12, the ACC, the Big East, things like that, those tournaments, I think a lot of who is going to be the champion. And when I say who, when we tell you who the champion is, you're going, who? Who's the champion? Like, that's what's going to happen. I think a lot of these teams and what we've seen throughout the entirety of the year, and I'm not a huge college basketball guy to follow and to know every player down to, you know, the second-round draft, things of that nature. But I know I follow the you know, the sports, and I watch it on Saturdays. It's all over every airwave. So, you know, with cable and things like that, you get to watch every single games from all of the conferences. So I've seen lots of upsets, lots of teams that are supposed to dominate one to another. I have close games. The parity, like Chandler and everyone else alluded to, which is so great in college basketball, that I think the tournaments themselves, the conference tournaments, are just going to give us nothing but wows and a whole bunch of shockers as well. I don't think there's anyone, to be honest, you know, everyone is going to, you know, to me, their heart. You know, right now, this is so wide open. You can go with your heart, and you'll be right because it's so wide open. And that's the way I feel about this. You can go with your favorite team and your conference, and right now you can hit two or three, maybe four or five good points on why they can win that conference. You know, for the top one to five teams in each conference. So the parity is just so skewed now. I'm in love with it. So and being in Phoenix, actually, side metropolitan Tempe, which is where ASU is at. Seeing how the local kids, now these aren't the greatest, you know, basketball players of all time, but seeing how local kids in high school
watching these TV programs, the ABCs, the NBCs, and the local affiliates, the way they cover it now, from when I was growing up to having no coverage of it whatsoever, to now four or five channels every Friday, Saturday, Sunday night, dedicating a whole night to these college kids, to these high school kids, and then especially if you're from you know, Tempe or Chandler or Mesa or Phoenix or something, you get so much love, and I think that's what they're getting to, that you can't just come in now from UCLA, you can't just come in now from an SC or an Oregon and lay your like jersey on the table of a good kid from Arizona, because now if he's been on the local TV for, you know, his past 4 years in high school, he's got a big following, and it's just that is what I think a lot of it is, what turning it around. Not just every major conference having their own TV deal, but the fact that TV and getting everyone together and seeing it is so easily now. You don't have to have money, you don't have to have barely anything to get your local channels, and those local channels are pumping these kids down your throat, and it's lovely. I enjoy it. I enjoy watching it every weekend, but I think that's helping out these schools locally so they don't lose the good talent to the big major schools around them. And it's just making college basketball and the atmosphere and everything around it just that much better for me. And out here in the Big 12, in the Pac-12, I'm sorry, go ahead.
How much are they talking about the Wildcats out there with Sean Miller at the coach? I mean, they start in the top five in the top 25, and they're trying to stay afloat in the top 25. They just lost an interesting game this weekend. What about them, you know, what about that area talking about the Wildcats?
You know, they all always, you know, be honest, the deep-seated hatred between ASU and U of A within this two-hour drive from Phoenix to Tucson is ridiculous. In the city of Tempe, in the city of Phoenix, you can't utter a Wildcat. You can't utter Sean or Miller. They just shut you down, and they won't let you talk about it. But you take that two-hour drive to Tucson, and they will tell you how they're going to win the national championship. They will tell you how they're going to win the Pac-12 tournament. They absolutely adore Sean Miller. They see what he's done since Lou Olsen's left, and been able to take this team to, you know, 3-16 Final Fours. If it wasn't for the monkey on the back, Wisconsin, the past few years, who knows, they might be a national champion with the talent they've had. But it's just out here, you know, with ASU down the street from where I live, they, physical, me listening to it, it's not big talk about U of A. But like I said, 2 hours down the road, they'll tell you all about it. And it's just one of those things that, you know, like I said, Oregon's at the top of the Pac-12 right now. But there's nothing stopping me from thinking that ASU can't go in and knock them out the first round of the Pac-12. That's how parity the Pac-12 is.
Okay, interesting stuff. I am a Gabe York fan. That's why I threw that out there. I wanted to see what Gabe could do. I was watching him come out of high school. They more or less turned him into a distributor type of guard and hit jump shots. And this guy is a high flyer at the guard position. But we'll see, because I think his time is running out down there with the Wildcats. But another interesting topic I did want to throw in there is the extension of Tom Brady. They gave him 2 more years, extending him until the year 2019. And at first I was actually thinking about it. I was like, look, it doesn't look like he's slowing down. He still has the capability to go out there and win 12 to 13 games. I mean, I really feel like I'm pushing it when I say 14. If they could all stay healthy, that'd be Edelman and Gronk. And if they have Deion Lewis come back in that backfield, I mean, they could plan to win 14 games again. But started thinking about it. That's 4 years from now, three or 4 years from now. He'll be 42 at that time. Does Brady stick around until he's 40-something? I mean, it doesn't really look like he's slowed down. He still can thread a needle. And I actually listened to the number that he had, not even just like passing yard-wise, because that comes with the territory, but he was 38-7 interceptions on the season, and at which he was without Gronk for a certain stint of the game, I mean the season. He was without Julian Edelman for like half of the season, and he still put those numbers up with what he had in front of him. So I don't want to downplay this by any means. Now, I remember 3 or 4 years back, I was saying Brady won't win another Super Bowl. I felt bad when they won the Super Bowl because I was like, I got to eat crow. But do you think that they're stretching the truth on Tom Brady at least pushing this until 2019 on his career. Or it, like he said, he wants to play until he was like 45, 46. I doubt it, but they don't let him get hit like that. I mean, there's games where he gets sacked, but he doesn't take vicious hits back there. I want to see how you guys feel about it. Tommy, I'll let you start this one up.
Don't really shock me, because like Chandler said in the green room earlier, they don't have no other quarterback, so what else are they supposed to do? And this draft, so by what a lot of people are talking, is down this year for quarterbacks. So, I mean, what are they supposed to do?
Still had 2 years. He still had 2 years. They extended it another two behind it, you know, so it's not like that they had to look for a quarterback now, and they are high on Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, I threw that out there. I don't think he's a franchise quarterback. Let me just say it like that. I don't think he's a franchise quarterback, but everybody looked at Brock Osweiler the same way. Everybody looked at Brock Osweiler the same way. They looked at Tom Brady that way. For six rounds, they didn't think Brady could do it. Brady came out, now it's like everybody went back to that 99 draft, like, shoot, I wish we could pick them up. I wish he would have picked him up. Now look, I don't know. Sirius, your thoughts on the extension of the quarterback that you love the most?
Can't stand him. Don't want to talk about it. Keep moving.
Okay, Chandler, your thoughts on this situation?
Well, first of all, can we start with they picked Tom Brady? They caught lightning in a bottle. Since they drafted Brady, every quarterback they've drafted that to back up Brady has gone somewhere else and has done nothing. So first, let's stop with that. Okay, they got lucky. That was a once-in-a-lifetime, you know what I'm saying, I walked down the street and I found a bag full of, I found a bag containing $1 million type of luck. Okay? So, all right, let's just acknowledge that for a change. Jeanine Garofalo is not Brock Osweiler, okay? Brock Osweiler is in a system that fits what he does and a coach that believes in him. Nobody, they can say all they want about they believe in Jeanine Garofalo. They don't. They don't. That is why even when Brady was looking at being suspended, you know, he was still taking half of the snaps at starter. Okay? He would go to court during the day, come back in the afternoon, and start taking starter reps. If you believe in a guy, then you give him all the reps. Okay? When Peyton was trying to come back, they wasn't said, okay, Peyton, you take some of the starter. They said, Brock Osweiler, you our guy. Period. So it doesn't surprise me that they're trying to get him to play as long as possible. Hell, if he could play till 100, I think they'd let him play. Because they don't have anybody else. They don't have anybody else.
Right.
And let's all remember that it wasn't like Drew Bledsoe suddenly they benched him for Brady. Drew Bledsoe got his chest blown up, okay? Right? He got his chest exploded, and so Brady went in, and then they were like, oh, my God, we do have the quarterback of the future on the team. So it wasn't like they went through training camp and all stuff, and you heard anybody saying that Brady was going to challenge Bledsoe for the starting job. You never heard that season. There was nothing right. That said they thought they had their quarterback of the future, okay? Nothing. Then Drew Bledsoe gets his chest exploded. All of a sudden, they realize
Pittsburgh,
what they have.
He was playing Pittsburgh when Drew Bledsoe got
blown up. Oh, no, wasn't. You're lying.
No,
it
was the New York Jets.
They were playing the Jets.
It was New York
Jets.
It was
the Jets.
It was the Jets.
It was Mo Lewis that hit. It was Mo Lewis that hit.
That's right.
He okay, lying. In my Kanye West voice, he lying.
So, you know, to say that they signed him to an extension is not surprising because they don't have anything else to go to, man. They haven't been able to come up with a running game since Corey Dillon. I mean, Corey Dillon was the last decent running back they had.
Wait, no, Chandler, because we were actually pretty high on Deion Lewis before he actually got hurt.
Deion, but let's see Deion stay healthy for a full season.
That's true. That's
okay, because Deion Lewis can't seem to stay healthy or through no fault of his own. I mean, your body is your body. Your genes are your genes. Mm-hmm. Some people, it is what it is. But, I mean, you know, where else do the Patriots have to go? Really? They better sign Brady till you're 1,000.
And just to say, they are actually, they were looking at Matt Forte. I don't want to see Forte in New England. I don't. Calling in by way of the state of Georgia, we have Nas in the building. Welcome to the wrap-up. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm good, man. What's up?
Not too much. Your thoughts on the discussion at hand?
Well, I guess my Tom Brady might get run out of the NFL with Roger Goodell and them coming after him again. I guess that goes up in smoke with this contract. I guess he's coming back. Shout out to Chandler for disrespecting the great Jimmy Garoppolo by calling him Janine. How dare you, sir? this is an interesting thing, though, man. Because no matter what, it's football money. So the moment Tom Brady isn't Tom Brady anymore, he gets treated, you know, the same way other all-time greats have. But, I mean, like you said, with Deion Lewis coming back, and as long as Gronk is still standing up, I mean, they still got a chance to put up big numbers like they were early in the season.
I mean, just think about it. With the last game that you seen them at full strength with that game against Dallas, they were beating Dallas at halftime 30-3. Just think about if they all stay healthy. Deion Lewis, Edelman underneath. It's savage. Like, let alone you're thinking about putting all that pressure on Brady. He could get these short routes rolling. They're extending his NFL life. Like, you're going to have to see Brady get hit hard at least, like, once or twice before we start to think about, like, he should think about retiring. We all know that Brady's slow foot. He got slow feet. He ran a 5.44. I mean, we know what he's bringing to the table. Like, he's not trying to scramble. If you get pressure on him, as you've seen, if you can get to him, you can sack him. But other than that, like, I mean, his play is still relevant, especially in a division that he owns. They're not even dominating the division. They own the AFC East. They own it. I feel sorry
for
saying that.
Like Robert De Niro said, man, there's a flip side to that coin. Him getting the ball out quick and saving himself, the guys who are catching the ball on those short passes are maybe shortening their careers. So there's a flip side to that coin in that maybe these guys are going to get hurt playing that way, regardless of who it is. So I don't know.
Not going to. They've already all been hurt.
True.
So with those guys going down, you think that they're not replaceable? I mean, they did that with Wes Welker and pulled in Julia Edelman.
Yeah, but I'm saying the replacements don't get beat up too. And I'm just saying the scheme probably provides the best way for you to catch some of those hospital balls. That's all I'm saying.
And just to ice the cake, I mean, when have they slowed down Bill Belichick at all? Like this, he is the genius. He is the genius, regardless of the situation.
Yep.
They're winning the division 11-5. Like they know that they got it once they do that. Like, they know they got it. They let everybody get all hot, happy. I know we were talking about at the beginning of the season. Buffalo is a team that could probably do it. The Jets got a defense now. They got Revis back. They was yawning, eating popcorn. I don't know. But thinking about that number at 42, I can't really think of another quarterback that has played that late in his career. Like, who, Dave Craig, Warren Moon? I mean, when Brett got up there, Brett got a concussion and he was done. I mean, Peyton is at, what, 39, and everybody is screaming for him to leave? Like, 42? Do we want to see Brady at 42 in the league? That is the crazy. But if he's dominating the league still, then hell yeah. But and this is analytically. I know me personally, it's like, hell no. I want somebody else to do it. If Brady keep doing it. But can't take too much away from him. I can't. At one point, I used to hate on him. After a while, it was like, forget it, man. Just respect the greatness. You got to. I knew it was a topic that Tommy wanted to touch on. I don't know if there's a lot there or not. But I'll say rumor mill having it, that Kyrie is not happy. I'll say it just like that. Kyrie is not happy being in Cleveland any longer. So do you think there's smoke there in Ohio, and does this carry in to the month of, let's just say, end of March and April? Now I'll let you start this one up.
I mean, if these rumors are true, the first thing I got to say is, well, what you wait for? Why don't you say something before the trade deadline? Let them go ahead, ship you out. You go somewhere else, greener pastures, if that's what you wanted, and let them run something else. But with all the pressure going on in Cleveland, man, LeBron might not be the best person to be around right now. So maybe LeBron got a lot of nervous energy, and he got that captain, I don't know what you would call it, micromanaging everybody. Maybe he's making people or Kyrie uncomfortable or something. But for as much as he's been hurt, I don't really see how he could really fix his face to say, I want out. You played there on those bum years. They bring you some talent, and now you're a contender. You're feeling, you know, you seem to be more healthy than you've been in a while. For you to say you want out right now is kind of, I don't know, man. I don't know if I can really back that up too much.
Chandler, I know that this is something that we have been talking about his entire career in this NBA. Just like, I feel like Nas kind of, you know, set the plate up a little bit for us, but he's been injured almost every single season that he's played in the NBA. And now it's more or less he's looking like it's the pieces around him and not him. And I'm not saying maybe you should look in the mirror, but what are your thoughts on this situation that there's rumor that he doesn't want to be in Cleveland any longer?
Well, that's been out there since LeBron showed back up. That's been out there since LeBron showed back up. See, the thing about Kyrie Irving is, one, he's a selfish guy. He'd rather be a big fish in a small pond than a small fish in a big pond, okay? Or even a big fish in a big pond, okay? He liked it when it was him getting the ball all the time, and even though the team wasn't losing, everybody was talking about the great Kyrie Irving, how he was the next great point guard and all this other stuff. You don't hear that too much about him anymore. You hear about Kevin Love. Kevin Love, Kevin Love, Kevin Love. LeBron, LeBron, mm-hmm. LeBron. Ricky Jefferson. And his Varejao would be getting more damn ink than him. Okay? He ain't even there no more. All right? It's not surprising to me. When LeBron came in this season, he's some guys that can't do this and can't do that like he's somebody's father. I knew that that's where this was going. LeBron, you ain't. Listen, man, you won because you had Dwayne Wade and Pat Riley. Let's be clear on this. You won because of Dwayne Wade and Pat Riley. You're not some great leader. You're not. You're a terrible GM, and you're a terrible leader. He's a terrible leader. He always has been. Because the terms are in his face, and he says, you don't get to tell another grown-ass man when he can laugh. You don't get to do that. So this is I'm not surprised at this. I believe that Kyrie's camp was asking for a trade at the deadline, and I believe they told him hell no. And so now they're making it public to put pressure on the organization. These leaks are coming directly from Kyrie's camp, directly from his camp. They're putting pressure on the organization. I think they wanted out at the trade deadline, to be quite honest with you. So it's not surprising to me. This is why I said that this team, as presently constituted, and I said this a while ago, will not win a championship. You have too many selfish guys on that team to win the championship. You got too many selfish guys. You got too many me guys. Ask him what the vowels are. It's not A-E-I-O-U. It's I. That's all they're concerned with. Let me get mine. Kyrie Irving wants to be in an offense where he gets to dominate the ball. That's not the offense they're running anymore. Kevin Love wants here. He only wants the ball here and here. Well, too bad for you. You're going to have to play this system. This is not surprising. And trust me, as the season goes on and some of these guys get shuffled to the back, guys like Shumpert and J.R. Smith, as they get shuffled to the back of the roster, and the Mo Williamses and the Richard Jeffersons who know how to play come playoff time, start getting more playing time, you're going to start hearing rumbling from them too. This is just the tip of the iceberg.
Okay, so here's your thoughts on the Kyrie situation. And I know this is your second team in the NBA, so your thoughts on the state of Cleveland right now.
Second team in the NBA. I love how you just try to, like, throw jabs at people like, I got another team in the NBA. That's funny. But honestly, man, I'm not too sure what to make of it, you know. I agree with what my man said before Chandler, you know. I mean, if Kyrie wanted to trade, then he waits until after the trade deadline and everything to – you know, let, you know, the rumblings hit the fans, because, again, I was one that was scurrying, you know, the media outlets and this, that, and the third on the trade deadline, before the trade deadline, this, that, and the third. And Kyrie Irving's name wasn't brought up. As a matter of fact, it was kind of the counter opposite, where Kyrie was happy. He was in Cleveland. He was healthy. You know, he and LeBron and Love were working on, you know, a system and trying to make a stretch run to compete for a championship. And then all of a sudden, you know, he, you know, gets sick in the OKC game, leaves the floor, and all of a sudden, you know, he's unhappy with LeBron James and Cleveland. He's unhappy with this, that, and the third in Cleveland. Again, I mean, it may have been there the whole time, you know, and it's just not being brought to the light. But, I'm really not buying it, to be honest with you. Again, if he wanted out of Cleveland, he could have got out of Cleveland. I honestly believe he could have got out of Cleveland. You know, a deal could have been made. He could have been shipped to maybe the Clippers for CP3, you know, GM LeBron and his associates could have worked something out to get Kyrie out of Cleveland, you know. So I'm not buying it, but, you know, if he's unhappy, he's unhappy.
Okay, Tommy, you basically were the one that initiated this one. Your thoughts on the Kyrie situation in Ohio. And if so, let me spice this up for you. Where do you see Kyrie's potential helping a team get better? Because just like Chandler said, last year and the year before that, before LeBron got there, yeah, we seen a whole bunch of Kyrie highlights, a whole bunch of cross-ups, a whole bunch of jump shots from out of nowhere. But here goes one thing that always stuck around. Kyrie was losing games. Does the losing thing persist if he does move and ends up being the ball-dominant guard that Chandler alluded to?
His best switch where he's at. We got to look where the source came from. Point the man's out there, but it was same. And let me put it this way. It was the same man that started with KD on that four-letter network. I'll put it that way. He's one of the clowns that's on there, and he's a Yankee fan. If you don't know, you know. So, I mean, we got to figure. Look at the source. And what gets me is all you people out there want to go around saying, GM LeBron. LeBron does this. Man, would you stop that stuff? LeBron doesn't run nothing. He may suggest, but all them stars do it. They all do it. I mean, you got to look at where the source came from, who said this. It could be he's just trying. I mean, Cleveland be stupid to trade him, if he did, like Chandler said, that'd be dumb.
Depends on what you get back. Depends on what you get back. If you get value back, hell, I'd do it. I'm not looking at Kyrie like he's a guy who's unmovable. Nah, I can't put him in that space. And as far as GM LeBron, it's just like any other player in the NBA with that kind of status. You're so important to that franchise, they have to either go over things with you or kind of check the temperature on what you feel about a coach or a roster move or whatever. Like, that's kind of the way the NBA's gone since back to the days of Bill Russell. Like, this is nothing new. And we just say GM LeBron because somehow it seems all of the hints and suggestions he makes turn out to be terrible. Like, I can't think of, like I said, we can't think of one LeBron, you know what I mean, initiated move that worked out really well. It's just, like I said, you could call the names, man. Donyell Marshall, Larry Hughes, Big Zeke. Like, you could call the names, dude. It's a bad track list.
And the source that he's referring to, this source has ties to Kyrie's camp because not one time has he ever reported anything about Kyrie Irving that turns to be true. So just because I don't – and by the way, he's not a Yankee fan, okay? He's a bandwagon fan of whoever's winning. So he's not a Yankee fan. The man can't name one player on the Yankees outside of Alex Rodriguez. But anyway, he does have sources.
He was big on GM too.
Okay. He does have sources.
Oh my God!
But hold on. Let's throw this a tie then, Chandler. Let's throw this a tie. You telling me if they call Sam Presti and say, look, man, you're real unsure about Russell. If you guys lose in the playoffs this year, this offseason, how about K-Love and Kyrie for Russell?
I wouldn't do it if I'm Sam Presti.
Of course not, but I'm just saying, if Russell's going to leave, why not?
Yeah, but see,
you try.
But that's the
you
thing,
try.
Though, is to say that somebody was – to say, well, why didn't they just trade him? Nobody was going to trade for Kyrie Irving. Because the only teams they were going to go to, you were going to ask them to give them an integral part of their team. The Clippers are not giving up Chris Paul for Kyrie Irving because Chris Paul is barely keeping that team together. Can you imagine bringing in Kyrie Irving to that particular mix? Doc Rivers ain't that stupid. Doc Rivers needs somebody to take the blame for his in-depth coaching. So when you look at teams around the league, teams around the league, there's not a lot of
in-depth coaching.
Yeah, I said in-depth coaching. They choked away a series last year, last I remember. His team has sucked pretty much since Tom Thibodeau left him as a defensive coach. So, but if you look, there's not a lot of landing spots for Kyrie Irving where you're going to get equal value. Or even, you never get equal value. But to get even, say, dimes on a dollar for Kyrie Irving, which is really your best case scenario, you get dimes on a dollar. You can't even get dimes on a dollar for him because the dimes you want, ain't nobody letting them go. Was he going to go Portland? They don't want him. San Antonio? They don't want him. Oklahoma City? Nope. He can go to the Knicks. If I Jose Calderon, he can go to the Sixers for T.J. McConnell.
You end up with some promising young players, space, and picks, and that just ain't worth what Kyrie actually is. But at the same time, like, I mean, if this dude is really starting this right now in this season, which is so critical for the Cavaliers, how comfortable are you going forward with this dude knowing these are LeBron's last years? You got to squeeze every last drop out of it as much as you can. And if this dude's acting like this, like how is this going to work? Year two?
You move him in the offseason.
Like
you move him in the offseason. I know Nacho got to get it, but you move him in the offseason. You don't move him at the trade deadline. You move him in the offseason so you can make people get into a bidding war. Because now at least you can get some draft picks for him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Say send him to Philly for the number one pick and Buddy Hield and, maybe Joel Embiid when Joel Embiid decides that he's ready to actually play basketball and stop, because Joel Embiid is ready to play, but he don't want to play for the Sixers. So every time they say, Joel, you ready? Oh, he grabs his foot and says, oh, my foot. I think my foot broke again.
You ain't right. You ain't right.
He's telling the truth. Bible, the truth shall set you free.
Nacho, any thoughts toward the Kyrie situation and the rumor that he is not comfortable in Cleveland any longer?
You know, anything about him, that particular play at the trade deadline, it just kind of, it kind of baffles me that it would be so late. Again, when you say check the source, maybe the source is too busy making stuff up about other players to get it out in time. He's probably supposed to release some information before the trade deadline. It's got to a little late. It's not his fault. He's too busy jumping bandwagons and trying to be a fake New Yorker. So it's not necessarily that he was wrong. He just said it at the wrong time.
I'm sorry, this man.
Other than that, man, the whole situation with LeBron and being the GM and people keep saying, it's GM LeBron is because, like they alluded to, every time his suggestion point, every time they ask him his opinion, they go with his opinion, they go with their suggestion, and it hasn't worked out. So they keep listening to the wrong person and keep coming up with the same result. So we don't understand what's going on, but that's the only way you can constitute what they're doing is just it's GM LeBron, because they're just letting him do whatever he wants. And every time they ask him a question, they don't ask themselves, is this the wrong thing to do? Is this maybe not the right way to go? They just think it's the word of LeBron, so it's got to have to work. It just doesn't make any sense. And I think they put too heat into those rings, like Chandler alluded to, without Pat Riley and Dwayne Wade, and what Pat Riley was able to do with that team and put LeBron in his place, he doesn't have rings for them to worship. And I think that's why, we can get back into a whole bunch of why he went back home and things of that nature. But this is just another thing where I feel Kyrie may have wanted to be gone before the trade deadline and maybe was talked back into it and now the Rumblings come back up. To me, it's all it's just irrelevant talk, too little, too late, so to speak, because there's really nothing that could be done now. It just goes to see now. There's just make room, for another team to come in and kind of sneak a victory in a series against the Heat in the playoffs because their mind ain't right. Because Kyrie does want to leave now or whatever. I think more or less that has to do with it than you know, what they can get for him and why they didn't do it sooner. But what does this say about this team moving forward? And does now an East team have the opportunity to take advantage of a team that may not be clicking on all cylinders anymore?
Okay. Well, if there's something else that you guys would like to talk about, we can, but I'm going to draw the line right there. Unless you guys have another topic. Go ahead, I'll let you throw that one out there.
You know, there's something that this is wintertime, as you guys on the East Coast definitely know, with the snow. So I got a lot of snowbirds down here, and I got into a talk with about 20 Broncos fans yesterday. And they are under the firm belief that if you find Brock Osweiler this week, now, as soon as possible, you can get him for, as Chandler likes to say, dimes on the dollar, than if you wait for Peyton Manning to announce his retirement. That way, you don't win. He announces his retirement. They're under the firm belief that as soon as Peyton Manning says he retired, that the Broncos automatically have to offer him Colin Kaepernick, Tannehill, Jay Cutler type contract to keep him. So they're under the auspices that if you sign Brock Osweiler right now, without knowing what the Peyton Manning situation could or could not be, you sign him to a long-term contract at a good rate now instead of having to wait for Peyton to make his decision, where in that point you could have you can overpay for a Brock Osweiler who, you know, for 7 games was 6-1, but wasn't all that great in the quarterback position, if you want to say that the defense is winning all the games this year. It works for both Brock and Peyton, not just Peyton. So do we all believe that you have to sign Brock now, or do you wait, or do you even consider even re-signing Brock at all? Because that's the bigger question. Did he prove in those 7 games he's worth a re-sign?
Yeah, he's going to get re-signed. It's not going to be money like Cap or any of those guys, but he's going to get re-signed. And some of this is some of that fan stuff because, as far as I know, Osweiler's agent went to school. So, like, you're not going to okey-doke him with, hey, Peyton might come back. Like, you're not going to threaten me with old, raggedy-looking Peyton Manning at this point. Like, his agent has a little more smarts. And I'm just guessing. I don't even know who his agent is. But I'm assuming he's smarter than that, than to fall for some silly leverage play like that with Peyton Manning as the trump card. I can't see that one, man. That dude went to school.
Yeah, but you can overplay your leverage, Nas, and they should have already re-signed him because they could have gotten him cheaper than they're going to get him once Peyton retires. Because see, here's the thing. He fits their system. There's not a lot of quarterbacks out there. The longer it takes Peyton to make a decision, that means the RG3s, the Colin Kaepernicks who may be available, let's say they go to other teams. You don't have anybody that can run your system out there now, unless you want to go with the Ryan Mallets of the world. You want to go with the Ryan Mallets and the Brandon Whedons or the Brian Hoyers? So you have a quarterback who knows your system. This is the
Johnny
guy.
Johnny Manziel is available, too.
Yeah, he's going to be in jail. You have a guy who and Gary Kubiak, who is ready to throw Peyton out for this kid. As was John Elway. They were ready to tell Peyton, listen, son, hit the bricks. You're the backup quarterback. But Brock, as most rookies would do, he struggled a little bit. So they hedged their bets. Had he played better, I firmly believe that Peyton Manning never would
have
started another game. I firmly believe that Peyton Manning.
He might have the leverage y'all talking about. But he didn't play that well.
Okay,
so he could come in and demand something.
But if he's the only quarterback on your roster, see, when you're the only guy on the roster, you do have leverage. You do have leverage. They're worried about
re-signing Von Miller and keeping that defense intact. And
which means that you should have signed him sooner. Which means you should have signed him sooner. Because the quarterback pay scale, you have to remember the quarterback pay scale, Naj. Quarterback pay scale is different than a Von Miller pay scale. Okay? It's really that simple.
Not in this situation.
Yes, in this situation. I guarantee you Brock Osweiler is going to have more money. It's not going to be annual average value, but Brock Osweiler's contract will not be smaller than Von Miller's. It will not be smaller than Von Miller's.
It's because of two letters. No, you're forgetting those two important letters, QB.
No, I'm not forgetting those two important letters. I'm looking at it like a guy like John Elway would. If a guy's willing to tell Peyton Manning before the season started, before we saw him struggle, that he needs to take a pay cut, he is not about to back down from some Brock Osweiler. He's going to look at you in the eye. I can guide your career. I can make you into a Super Bowl champion, this, that, and the third. Brock's going to go for it. They're going to take whatever little short-term deal they throw out there, and they're going to tell him to play his way into a big deal. He's not getting
Brock
long,
agent, I don't take that money. And see, that's the thing. If I'm his agent, I don't take that deal. I say, okay, I'll tell you what. We'll shop our services in the open market because there's a team in Houston that needs a quarterback, and they'll give us the money we're looking for, and you have a good day with no quarterbacks on your roster.
And John Elway says bye.
Okay, and the kid goes, then he goes to Houston and gets his money. See, Brock Osweiler don't have to stay in Denver. Somebody's going to pay this kid. Somebody's going to pay him. Kirk Cousins is about to be franchised, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Kirk Cousins is about to be franchised. Wrap your mind around that. He's about to be franchised, okay? And he has have no leverage. He ain't got no damn leverage. And he's about to be franchised.
Yeah, that's why they're sticking him with the franchise. You know what I mean?
Exactly. And that franchise
normally
tag.
I would agree with y'all on this, but Brock, I think, is a really interesting thing just because he only played those couple of games. Besides that, what tape do they have on him? Just what the Broncos facility has. What they think of him in that building. And the way I'm looking at it, man, Elway is the last call on everything in that building, and he's going to be able to bully them a little bit at that table. And I don't think Brock walks out of there with Kaepernick money.
I think Brock Osweiler goes to the Houston Texans. I think he goes to the Houston Texans and gets a contract around $75 million. When they could have gotten him for about $50 million. Had they signed him sooner, they could have got him for $50 million. That's a difference of $25 million. That's a hell of a lot of money.
Yeah, but I don't even think they got $50 in cap room right now because that's why they're still.
No, I'm talking about you're not listening. It's not 1 year. It's not 1 year. You give them a sign of bonus and all the other nonsense. Listen, they can make it fit under the cap if they want to. We all know that. They get real loose with the books. Okay, what I'm saying is you could have had this kid for $50 million. You're going to have to give him at least $70. And the longer this goes on, the higher that number goes because, remember, there are other teams that will sign him to that contract. And now you are back at square one with no quarterback, or you now have to bring Peyton Manning back, who really can't throw.
See, I don't think you have to bring Peyton back. I don't think it's going to get to him even getting outside of the building and looking around. I think we're going to see that dude at like 3 years, 30 or something really short, but nice little bonus money just to let him know that they're looking out for him, but nothing real long-term to where they're committing to him because he's not proven yet. Still, he's improving. That old man took your job. Now, a lot of that was politics of you can't bench Peyton. You know what I mean? Now, we all agree on that. But I just don't see that dude getting that money. And I think Von Miller is going to break the bank. I don't know, man. It's a tough one.
Okay. Well, we are at the tail end of the show. We did extend to 30. So I need close outs from each of you. Promote anything that you like before we walk out of the door here in the kitchen. Now, I'll let you set it off first, get your promo plug. You're the last one in the kitchen doors as we shut it down here at the wrap-up.
Yeah, I'm not going to promo tonight. I just want to say I'm really interested in this argument right here, right now, and I want to see where this goes going forward. And, hey, man, y'all know me. If y'all are correct, Nacho and Chandler are right on this, I will come on this show and admit I was wrong. Brock Osweiler got that money. And Von Miller came up short. I think Von's going to get it, man.
You can promote. You don't want to promote at all, no?
I got nothing going tonight, man. I'm waiting on my co-host.
Okay. I'm trying, Sport City. I'm trying. I'm trying. You know, I do what I can do because we're in the kitchen. You know, food for us all. Okay. Tommy just stepped out of here. Nacho, let me get a plug, close out, shout out as we shut it down here at the wrap up.
At Nacho in the Box, Twitter, 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 Twitter. Oh, man.
Twitter, Facebook, and the gram. I heard the new kids, they call it the gram now. It's not Instagram. You say Instagram, you're old. So, you know, I'm 30 next month. I don't want to be old. So it's the gram now. So on the gram, not at Nacho in the Box. Other than that, man, it was a great show. I enjoyed listening today. The college basketball talk was amazing. Like I said, I'm not into it so in-depthly to know the names of the second-round picks or the late-round picks, things of that nature. But just knowing, you know, getting to watch the games in general and just seeing these kids, you know, put their heart and soul on the floor, on the hardwood floor, just like these college football players do, it's amazing. I hope the college football game can get as much parity as the college basketball game has gotten. Hopefully that is coming to light over the next couple of years in that sport. But as it pertains to March Madness, I will have my popcorn ready for every game. I've already got 2 TVs on loan from friends because I know there are multiple games when this thing starts, but that I'm going to be on at the same time. I'm not going to miss a single minute. But there's just going to be too many wow moments that I can't come on to a sports wrap-up show, a Sunday brunch, or a roundtable, or anything else without having to see the latest wow moments that will happen in March. I'm just ready for these shows in March because we're just going to be sitting here wowing. And I know once the Hoyas go down, there'll be a lot of gunshots. And things of that nature.
They already down, man. Listen, I'm the one that listen, and I'm gonna tell you the truth. I'm gonna tell you the honest to God truth. I'm a part of like 4 or 5 Georgetown Hoyer groups. I'm the one, and every one of them talking about fire. John Thompson III, me, and then you gotta see it. It'd be like 45 people liking it. Like, yep, get rid of them. Serious. That's just he keep running that Princeton offense. With all the offensive power that he has, you got to let these guys pull the trigger. There's no way BSR is supposed to be looking like this. This dude was a preseason All-American, and he's forgot about. Deadly. They got to get rid of him. I'm sorry. As much as I want to keep him there and keep that Thompson, that's how I fell in love with him, was his father. And John Thompson Jr. was the reason why I fell in love with Georgetown. He's not his father. All right.
Thank you. Let me come on, man. It was a great show. And, you know, now I'll definitely be checking out the show. When you have a new one, just tweet it out to me, and I'll get on that. The last one was a great show with Kim McCann. So I'll definitely be trying to film it.
All right. That's what's up, man. Definitely.
All right. Mr. Simmons, I need a plug, close out, shout out, or we shut it down here at the wrap up.
Yo, man, it's your boy, Sirius, repping that 412 and the 703, man. It's such a pleasure to be here with you all on another edition of the wrap-up. Yo, like I said when I came in, man, ladies and gentlemen, be alert when you're on the road, when you're out there. You know, I mean, there's a big push, you know, lives matter, this, that, and the third. Just, you know, be respectful, go on your P's and Q's and this, that, and the third. Like I said, I lost my homie yesterday, gunshot wound to the back of the head, you know, out here in Winchester. So, you know, my heart goes out, you know, to the family, you know, affected by that. But, you know, all things considered, man, North Carolina, you know, handling business right now, playing Syracuse. We need to, you know, keep our foot on the gas. As we, you know, press on towards March. And other news, man, shout out to everybody who's been checking us out. The downloads are amazing. Spring training has kicked off. So those cats talking that baseball, it's going to be an interesting season coming up. So definitely check us out for that. Man, TC, let's get these cats out of here, man.
No doubt, last but not least, Nostradamus, shut it down as we close up the wrap-up.
Well, it's fun tonight. Everybody, thanks for coming. Let me just say this, because once you get over the age of 30,
I know.
If you curse at another man about your team, you really need to evaluate your level of maturity, okay? We all get in here, we all have fun, we get on each other. But when you are seriously saying F you to somebody over a team, and you over the age of 30, you really need to evaluate your level of maturity. You really do. Because it's really, Is it really that serious? Are you getting paid? Are you making money? Are you going to die if the team doesn't win? Really?
I don't even know how to follow that up. Honestly, I thought that would be an innocent trash-talking session. I really did. And you can even hear how serious said it. I like how you set that up because he always is, you know, going back and forth. And Miami sitting on top of the ACC, and I'm not even going to downplay it. Miami has been playing some interesting ball, but I did not think it would get to that extent. And it's been happening a lot. It's worked that he's happened in recent years. But I must admit, to the true – you know, roots of Sports City. We all been through the depths of debate. Sirius, I already know we've been through the depths of debate and to the point where either Chandler or Sirius or Nas or Royce or somebody calling me after the show like, Ty, you don't know how electric I am right now. Like anything could set me off right now. Like any given situation, they could explode and it'll be... I had to get one in. SportsCityChef.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blog, the chef. The grill will be wide open tomorrow. I'm praying, Sports City. My boys are on a losing streak again. I want out of this losing streak. I don't like this one bit. They got the Kings, and I feel like the Kings can have something up their sleeve, too. I'm sitting at the edge of my seat, though. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, people, now they know.
Let me get my thing. Music.